You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, along with Paul Savage, joining us today
in for Jacob Albrecht. Jad Chambers producing the program. That IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves. All your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. It's a reaction Monday, as it always is, on our Mondays, recapping everything that happened in the world of both NFL and college football. We've got a lot to get to on the program today. The voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, will join us coming up in our very next segment at about 9:15 or so. We'll talk about and react to everything that happened with the Wildcats being upset in Houston on Saturday. Paul Savage, welcome in this morning. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How about you, big boy? A lot going on in the world of sports. Boy, how about college football coming down to the last 5 weeks?
I'll tell you what.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. There's things going on I had no clue that would be happening. Seriously. With certain teams, it's blowing my mind.
Yeah, I mean, look, like that's the way that it is. And we get our very first college football playoff rankings coming up tomorrow.
Here it comes.
You can throw out the top 25 polls at this point because all that matters is the top 12 in those college football playoff rankings.
Well, there's pride, though.
Is do you get into the 12-team playoff? And we're going to spend quite a bit of time here this morning talking about the Wildcats and their prospects to be in that 12-team playoff. Took a major hit on Saturday after they were upset on the road in Houston in the rain on Saturday. Before we get into that, though, really quick, speaking of rain, man, it's been nice to get some rain here this weekend. I don't know about you, but it was nice to just kind of be able to relax and watch the rain fall. It's been a while since we've done that this week.
Well, you know, something that's even deeper for me, you know, I have a little place that has a little lake on it. It's so far down. You know, our survival comes to water. It literally comes to water. And this is a part of the United States that needs water so bad. You know, I've not been out to Lake Cheney in quite some time, but a friend of mine told me the other day that it is so far down that the docks are on mud. The boats, there's no boats out there, obviously. But we need this rain, Tommy. This isn't just, you know, for your relaxation. I'm glad you're happy. That's a byproduct of it, right?
Yeah, lay on the couch, watch football, watch the rain fall. Yeah. That was nice.
But this is, oh, man. This is like a godsend. We need this, Tommy, so bad for the state of Kansas, for Wichita in particular. You know, I'm starting to worry about our water supply. Now, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Maybe I should be on Ted and Stephen over on KNSS.
And talk about this. Right. But, man, I'll tell you what. I'm a little worried. I'm so glad to see this rain. I can't begin to tell you.
You know, the conservation efforts have been going on for a while. And so, I mean, that's what I thought about, too, as I'm watching the rainfall is, hey, this certainly can help, and we need more of it. And it was raining when I drove in this morning. Hopefully that continues for a while, too, so we can have a few more of these nice soaking rains. Jad, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we did talk about rain and such this morning on Steve and Ted.
Good.
And we did mention the fact that they've got at Cheney Reservoir, they have measured it's right around 6 inches.
Okay, so, good.
Oh, no kidding.
Good. So half a foot up. Now that's nowhere near what it's down.
Right.
We still need a lot more to get it anywhere near normal, but they did make that determination that, about a half foot up.
Well, Tommy, do you mind if I just ask Jad one real quick question?
Go for it.
I mean, we're into this. How many feet. I'm assuming it's feet. How many feet does Cheney need to get back to normal? I really don't know. I'm just curious. And I don't know. And I don't mean to put you on the spot or
anything. Well, I'd have to look it up to be 100% sure.
Is it like 5 feet maybe or more?
No, it's more than that. But yeah, I'll look it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we can continue on with, more rain chances. I know that, today at least, and we're in that time of year where the seasons are changing and, hopefully we can continue with more of an active weather pattern as we move on. But it was raining in Houston on Saturday.
Oh, gosh.
Definitely an impact to the game for both teams. And, man, I'll tell you what, Paul, and we're going to get into it more, like I mentioned in our very next segment with Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats. The weather really impacted the game, and it really muddied the game up both literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. Just basically because Houston was able to get the game more in the speed that they wanted it to be. The weather prevented Kansas State from being explosive offensively. Avery Johnson didn't have his best game, threw a couple of interceptions that, certainly contributed to the loss for Kansas State. Houston's a better team, I think, than what people give them credit for. Of course, they are now on a two-game winning streak. They beat Utah a weekend ago and then upset Kansas State. Was this game, in your opinion, more about Houston winning the game or more about Kansas State losing the game?
Well, it's about Houston winning them. This is a home game for them. And, of course, the stadium was not that full from the weather delay. By the way, I clicked over there about 5 minutes after I clicked onto the game, about 5 minutes after it was supposed to start. And then on the little banner down below, it said lightning.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, here we go, because I don't know if you probably knew this. Some people may not be aware of this, but the NCAA, and let me just point out, Kansas High School Athletic Association, they have mandatory, if lightning is in the area, there are mandatory times that you can't go on the field.
Right.
And I think for high school, it's like 30 or 45 minutes if you see lightning. You're supposed to say, I haven't seen lightning now for 45 minutes. Now we can play. But it's so important.
And then there's a warm-up period and there's all of that. I mean, so you're talking about potentially significant delays.
So when I saw it, the game was supposed to be starting, or within, say, 5 minutes of when it was supposed to be starting, I thought, this game could literally be 2 hours later. And fortunately, they got the game off and it got played, but it's pretty late. But anyway, the game went off without a hitch, at least after that. I don't remember them having to stop play for anything. But I'll tell you what, it's like, and I hate to say that there are external forces that can affect a football team. And I thought that the delay affected K-State more than it affected Houston. And that's partly because when Houston goes into their locker room, they go into their locker room. That's their place. That's where they suit up and play a game, home games all throughout the year. They're familiar with it. K-State, on the other hand, is traveling. They're down in Houston. It's rainy, it's lightning, it's delayed, everything is off. You're going to end up playing later and later. And, I could almost make the case that I wasn't surprised, a little surprised, but this is Houston. But, Tommy, this Houston team is not the same Houston team as the first two or three games of the season. This is a different team that has gotten back. That was not a bad football team.
They made a quarterback change, Paul, midway through the season that has really sort of elevated them. Mm-hmm. It's really propelled them forward. And Zion Chris had a great game. For the Cougars. I mean, it was really his game, and the Wildcats had a really difficult time limiting him. Through the air, he didn't throw the ball a whole lot. You really couldn't in that kind of atmosphere and that kind of environment with the weather. But he was 11 of 11. 103 yards through the air and one touchdown.
In that weather.
But then what I think was even more beneficial in the long run for Houston, Chris had 22 carries, 75 yards, and had a touchdown on the ground. So, I mean, he is a running quarterback. That's really what he does best. That's why Willie Fritz made that quarterback change, had Chris take over the starting reins, because he's mobile. He can run. He can get you first downs. He can get into the end zone. He didn't average a whole bunch of yards, right? He averaged just over 3 yards a carry. It wasn't anything mind-blowing, but he did what he needed to do, to get Houston into positions to score. And ultimately, it was the fourth quarter. I mean, it had been a long day, I think, for Kansas State with the delay and all of that and not ideal weather conditions. And then the bottom line is that Houston outscored them 14-0 in the fourth quarter, and that was that. Houston gets the win.
It was just as simple as the way you just put it. But you got to take your hats off to Houston. It's a team that's come back. They've made the changes they need to make. And Willie Geist, I mean, that guy's not an amateur. Willie Fritz. He's not an amateur, is he? This guy has been around the block a couple of times, so he knows.
He's played K-State close before when he was the head coach at Tulane. Very nearly upset the Wildcats. And Fritz is a Kansas guy. He's familiar with the program. He's from the state, you know, all of that. I would argue, even though they upset Utah a week ago, it's a shell of, you know, the team that I think everybody thought Utah would be. This was the signature win for Willie Fritz in this Houston program this year. You were talking before we came on the air about the potential that this program has. If they can harness NIL, if they can get the recruiting surrounding them, this could be a potential sleeping giant in the Big 12 long term.
Right. And really, if you look at it in terms of potential, the potential at Houston is better than at K-State. Now, I know people are going, wait a second, what are you talking about? I mean, this is a team that's, you know, up to this point was right in the race for the Big 12 championship. And they still might be. We don't know. There's still a lot of football to be played.
Sure. But it helped that Iowa State lost, by the way.
Well, that helped out a ton. That helped out a lot. It certainly did. Now, of course, people are asking, well, with two losses, what does that do to K-State in terms of the Big 12? When I say the Big 12, the 12 that go
to the CFP.
Yeah,
they've got to win the Big 12 championship.
I don't see another course.
There is no way. I want to get Wyatt's thought on this in our next segment. I don't think there's any possible way that a two-loss Kansas State team, or really a two-loss Big 12 team in general, is going to make the CFP.
Right.
I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, and we know. Well, here's what we know. Here's the only thing we know at this point. It looks like to me, and maybe you would have a different opinion, the Big 12 is going to get one team in.
They'll get the champion. That's the way it's looking to me.
Does that sort of look like the only
other way that I could see that happening? I think there's maybe one other option.
What would that be?
BYU wins out, wins the rest of the way until the Big 12 championship.
Oh, that's right.
And then they lose. And then a two-loss team, and it could be Kansas State, it could be Iowa State, it could be whatever.
I should have thought of that. That's right. No, that's
Big 12 championship.
No, that's correct.
And then maybe BYU, a one-loss BYU team, could get an at-large bid. Maybe. But again, BYU's strength of schedule, I think they're going to look at – I mean, would you take BYU, a one-loss BYU team, as an at-large, or potentially a two-loss Alabama team? And that's what – I think that's what the committee is going to have to decide – if and when we get to that point.
I think I'd take BYU, and the reason I would is because I don't want the hassle of saying I'm playing favorites. And I mean, they were playing favorites with four teams into the playoffs. They can still play games with 12. I would say BYU because it's not exactly a slouch of a league, although two losses for Alabama, who can see that? And the SEC, they're capable of beating each other up, aren't they?
I mean, that's what the Big 12 has been doing. I mean, they've been cannibalizing each other. And really, I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said the Big 12 is playing their way into one team being in this 12-team playoff. I want to get Wyatt Thompson's take on this, as well as the Houston upset in the rain against Kansas State on Saturday. We've got Wyatt on the other side. We'll take a timeout. Coming right back, the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, will join us next. It's Sports Daily on KFH.
Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on this Reaction Monday. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage in for Jacob Albrock, Jad Chambers producing the program. Joined now by the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, for our weekly visit on Mondays. Wyatt, let's just jump right into it, I suppose. It was a rough weekend for the Wildcats in several different ways. Of course, the weather was not ideal down in Houston with delays and the rain and all of that. And then ultimately, the Cougars upset the Wildcats by a final score of 24-19, about, little less than 48 hours post that game. What do you feel like the vibe is right now around the program?
I think total disappointment and frustration, if you want to know the truth. I think everybody, whether it's the fan base, the coaching staff, players, people that follow the team on a daily basis, athletic department folks, I mean, it was a bummer of a day. Really, I was trying to think of one that could match it in most recent times, just in terms of the fact that you don't play really very well, but you have a 19-10 lead in the fourth quarter and let it slip away. On a weekend where there were plenty of upsets, certainly, don't debate that at all, but boy, you win that game, you're in awfully good shape with the Iowa State loss. It's a stinger. You can't mask it. You just can't.
Yeah, and you know, we talked before we brought you on in our first segment just about what Houston was able to do, and I used the phrase that they muddied up the game, both literally and figuratively, obviously, but just in the style in which they played. You know, Willie Fritz made that quarterback change over to Zion Chris a couple of weeks ago, and it was the Zion Chris game. I mean, whether he was throwing it through the air and was super efficient when he did it, or running the football, it wasn't like he did anything spectacular in running the football, but he consistently got Houston in positions where they were able to extend drives or get into the end zone. And then those 14 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, you know, obviously the key to the game for Houston.
Without a doubt. And those points, in all frankness, coming on Kansas State mistakes. I think when you look at the totality of the ball game, you can kind of boil all of the water out of it and say probably something like this. K-State got beat at the line of scrimmage on offense for the most part. They got beat at the line of scrimmage defensively. Mistakes and just you can't average 2.6 yards per carry on the road and beat anybody, man. You just can't do it. And you know, K-State's been better than that, but they weren't Saturday. I'm going to give Houston a lot of credit for like you say, muddying up the game, doing enough. I've heard so many people say, well, that guy couldn't throw at all. Well, he was 11 for 11, so right. That's probably inaccurate.
Yeah.
Is he great? Certainly not. But they did just enough. They hurt K-State on about four plays. And unfortunately, because of scoring just 19 points, it got them beat. Simple as that.
You know, the interesting thing, I love the way you brought up the physicality of the line of scrimmage. And inevitably, you and I always talk about it whenever you and I are together on an interview like this. And I really appreciate you bringing it up, because here's my question to you. Is the great teams are the ones that they don't have their aggressiveness, their rugged play on the line of scrimmage, their ability to get movement on offense and to prevent movement on defense. Those are the teams that win games, win championships, and go to playoffs. And we have been talking about the Kansas State Wildcats as one of those teams where they had the potential to be that team. They have dominated a lot of games up front. Why did they not dominate this game? Because it looked like to me they had better personnel than Houston had. I was trying to figure this out, because you're right. Your comment that they were not dominant at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the balls, Wyatt, is 100% spot on.
Well, you said a lot there, Paul, and I guess what I would start with is this. On this particular day,
okay, yeah,
Houston's front defensively was better than K-State's.
Yeah, you're right.
K-State's offensive line. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at and I'm seeing Keith Cooper, who played for Coach Fritz at Tulane, Carlos Allen, Anthony Holmes, Ikea Strong. Those names really don't mean anything to those people listening to this, but they mean a lot to Houston. And I said last week, be aware of this team defensively. They're better than you think. They're better than you know. They were third in the league in total defense going into the weekend. They're not a joke defensively. They have really struggled offensively. Guys, they were 3-5 going into the game, had been shut out twice in league play. But that was back earlier on. I'm not saying they've arrived and are great. That's not what I mean. But they have defensively, and they were just good enough offensively that in combination, and then with K-State's play, you know, you've got a very frustrating 24-19 loss. It's as simple as that. Hope I answered the question. But their defensive front stuffed K-State.
Yeah,
they just did most of the day.
You know, Wyatt, I don't mean this as a knock at all on Chris Klieman. I have a ton of respect for Chris Klieman. I think he's a phenomenal coach. But in this particular game, you know, Houston was not the more talented team. They were not the more athletic team. They were not the better team, but they were better coached. And Willie Fritz is a phenomenal coach. And the fact that he has been able to get this team, you know, which, I mean, they're in a rebuild, but he's accelerated that rebuild. And they're two wins away from a bowl game. And I don't know what it is about Fritz specifically, but he tends to play the Wildcats pretty tough. He did when he was at Tulane. I wonder if that shone through from your perspective in watching the game, and in that, man, Willie Fritz, he's getting so much more out of so much less than maybe what people expected him to do.
Well, I'm going to say this, not that I'm trying to correct you, but so much less offensively.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, 100%.
I do think if you're looking at this defense and crunching numbers against everybody else in the league, they are one of the top three or four or five defenses in the league. Where they won the game probably was those three or four plays. I mean, they scored their first two touchdowns based on long pass plays. One was an actual scoring play to Manjack, and then the other gets him down inside the five. But I mean, you think about all of the things. You know, K-State was hurt by penalties. They were hurt by the two interceptions, particularly with the timing of it. But you miss an extra point. You have a bad snap on a field goal. I mean, there's 4 points right there. You're going to overtime tied to 24 if you do that. You know, so you can look at a lot of different things. It wasn't Avery's best game. I don't know. I'm going to say that most people will agree with me on this. I thought, you know, the play calling was in the first drive was pretty darn good. After that, you could probably question it, right? I guess that's the thing. I'm not saying what you're saying doesn't have some validity, because it does, but because are they one of the better teams in the league? No. And is K-State? I think so.
Yeah.
You know, but Coach Klieman has said, hey, we've played a lot of teams and beaten a lot of teams that are probably better than us, but we do it with what we do. And what we do didn't happen Saturday.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, following up a little bit on what you mentioned with Avery Johnson, I mean, he threw a couple of picks, and, you know, the one late absolutely was a backbreaker for the Wildcats. Are there any lingering concerns about his play on Saturday, or can you chalk it up to just kind of like the BYU game? Like, things just sort of snowballed. It wasn't a great offensive outing. You can take the weather into account and all of that, but he still is Avery Johnson, and he'll still be great, and he will continue to do that and bounce back next week. Or was there anything that you saw that you're like, man, that might be something they need to kind of work through?
Well, I think there's a little of all of it on the table, probably. Would Avery tell you if he were sitting here that he's got to get better and make some better decisions in a few of those moments on Saturday? No question. Does K-State need to run the ball better? Yeah. Better pass defense? You betcha. The frustrating thing is, and I'm just going to look at this. I'll lean over here and look at my defensive chart. The frustrating thing is, if you really, at least from my perspective here, is you gave up 232 yards on the road and got beat.
Right.
That's not a gut punch. That's 10 gut punches, right? I mean, you win those games most of the time, and yet you didn't. And again, I'm not going
to
say.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Too much about the weather. They had to play in it, too.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? They made just enough plays offensively. I'll go back to that because the long plays, the game winning, you know, long touchdown run wasn't very good defense on K-State's part. if you take out those plays, and you can't, but if you do, they defended them well enough to win the game. But offensively, you know, we could talk about that all day. Again, I go back to K-State averaged 4.4 yards per play.
Yeah.
Not per rush, per play. Just not good enough.
You know, earlier in the show, my broadcast partner and I, he's smart at times. There's
Every once in a while.
Tommy's pretty darn smart. And I made the comment. I just blurted it out. I said, it looks like to me at this point, it looks like the Big 12 is only going to get one team into the final 12 playoffs. And Tommy then said, being a great broadcast partner, he said, well, it might be too. If BYU wins out and then ends up losing in the championship game, maybe the champion and BYU would go into the playoffs. Is that a scenario that's possible, or would, as Tommy brought up, a team like Alabama, or would somebody like that be higher rated or looked upon in a greater way than, say, a BYU?
Well, it really is a great subject and question, and I would tell you that if you're playing the odds under that particular scenario, I'm not a betting man, but I would say we'll look out for Alabama to make it and Big 12 number two team to not. Just based on what we've seen before. Now, you can make the argument that a 12-team playoff is going to be different and maybe more fair than a four, and I would like to think that is so, but I'm not going to kid you guys. I've said this forever. Forever. There is bias in it, and there always has been, and maybe there always will be. I think there's bias when you get down to NCAA tournament bracket and those last few teams and who gets in and who doesn't. That's just the nature of it. Doesn't mean it's crooked necessarily, but, you know, the TV matters, and it always, and it more so now than ever before. So I worry about that from the perspective of the league. And, you know, that, I mean, the way we feel today, I'm going to guess Iowa State folks are feeling the exact same way.
Well,
and they lost a home game, and most don't do that in this league if you're going to make playoffs. So, you know, there's still a long ways to go, and I would make the argument if I'm not worrying about the playoffs today. We've got Arizona State in here in 2 weeks, and they just crushed Oklahoma State in Stillwater. And I know OSU struggled. I get it. But Cincinnati and then in Ames –
yeah.
Let's go be 10-2, and then we can make our argument after that.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, the only silver lining for the Wildcats on Saturday was that Iowa State lost. And, you know, obviously there could have been that opportunity to, you know, Iowa State loses, Kansas State wins. Then you've got the very first CFP rankings coming out tomorrow. Could Kansas State have maybe squeaked into that if they had won on Saturday? Maybe. There's a lot of what ifs there that we'll never know. But we do know that at least with Iowa State losing, the door is not shut on Kansas State playing for a Big 12 championship. But that margin of error has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, and it starts in 2 weeks with an Arizona State team that I don't think anybody had really had on their radar at all this season. And here they are, 6-2. They're 3-2 in the Big 12. And like you just mentioned, they put a thumping on Oklahoma State on Saturday. There's definitely there's a threat there from the Sun Devils. I mean, there's no doubt about that, and something that the Wildcats are going to have to get ready for in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know what? They're a different team when Sam Leviter's their quarterback. That is a highly rated young man who transferred in there, has fit into what they do. Scadaboo has great talent as a hard runner, but also as a receiver in the backfield. Jordan Tyson's one of the most underrated receivers in our league. They will be a hard out, I think. Back to the 12 for a moment, and we probably should try to augment our point from a moment ago by saying, if you're Iowa State and Kansas State, the one team you're worrying about right now isn't as much Alabama as it is Colorado.
Sure.
Oh, that could
100%,
be
100%.
Right. No, 100%.
You know why?
Yeah. Dion.
Yeah.
And the magnitude of the television stuff there. It matters, guys. That's what we were saying. When you – I mean – you can argue all day long whether the committee will take that into consideration or not. I'm just saying it has an, the TV is going to make an influence. And that's just, that's the nature of it.
I think you're spot on there. And the fact that you've got a Big 12 that has beat up on each other and cannibalized each other with teams that, you know, nobody had on the radar. You know, we talked about Arizona State just a second ago. BYU was completely off the radar. And now all of a sudden they're a top 10 team nationally and still undefeated and all of that. I wonder from the perspective of Coach Klieman, the coaching staff, the team, you've got this off week. And then you go into playing Arizona State, then Cincinnati, then Farmageddon to wrap up the season. What are some things in your mind that you think that this program either will be working on or should be working on in preparation for not only Arizona State, but the remainder of the regular season that maybe reared its ugly head against Houston or things that they need to shore up before they play the Sun Devils next weekend?
Well, I think most things you would point to are correctable things. That's probably the best part. After the game, my statement leading into Coach Klieman, K-State fought, too many mistakes to win, you know, did some good things. But he said, the fundamental things of the game. K-State wasn't good enough. And what he's talking about is, you know what, we talked about the snap and the hold issues, but there were some good punts and there were some punts that hurt K-State, you know, return kind of thing, coverage kind of thing, sustaining blocks, right? All of those kind of things really matter. And over the course of his 6 years here, K-State's been pretty darn good at that most of the time. Occasionally they will have one of these kind of games and you just have to continue to grind with it. I think the coaches like this group of guys. I know how much they hurt. I was sitting on that plane right behind a bunch of them and they were hurting. So I think they'll get back to work. But it's you're going to have to get your mind right and get going and flush that. And it's hard to do because it meant so much. In the grand scheme and the big picture, both in the league and nationally.
You know 100% why, true. You know why it's going to get harder in the future, and I think Tommy would agree with this, because some of the teams in the Big 12 are not the teams I thought they were going to be early in the year. I'll confess, I thought Utah was going to be better than they were. I quite frankly thought Arizona was going to be better than Arizona State. I really did. Now, maybe I shouldn't have thought that, but that's what I thought. I'm having a hard time figuring out who's going to be a power in football conferences until they get started doing that. What is your way of evaluating who's going to be those teams that have the strength from the beginning to the end? Because I'm not sure the way I've been looking at it has been the right way. Why? What do you do?
Okay, let's go away from the Big 12 a second.
Okay.
Because I've been thinking about this all weekend, okay? When you talk about the 12, would you say they will or they won't when that first one comes out tomorrow that Indiana's in that top 12?
Well, it's got to be.
They will.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Well, that's the debate, and here's my point. Their non-conference schedule, Florida International.
Not good.
Western Illinois and Charlotte.
Yeah.
The reality of it is, that's not very damn good.
Yeah.
It isn't. K-State played, as an example, at Tulane, right?
Right.
And against Arizona at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I guess we could look at Iowa State, too. Remember now, everybody's all in love with Colorado right now, but they lost at Nebraska and got pumped, right? So all I guess I'm trying to say is there's so much to, you know, take into consideration here. I'm anxious to look at that first one just to see what it looks like, because when you look at the top programs and you look at the rankings, I mean, let's not even worry about right now with the top six or seven or eight. it's more about that next group, because that next group, you go anywhere from 8 to 16, maybe even 17.
It gets really muddy.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, it gets really jumbled up there. And you know, to your point, even a BYU team that is leading the Big 12 and undefeated outside of, you know, what really is a quality, big-time quality win against SMU in the non-conference. You know, they've also got wins over Southern Illinois and Wyoming, you know, in their non-conference. So that's not, outside of SMU, a really big-time non-conference schedule either. So there's just a lot of jumbled-up teams right there. And you know, Kansas State, like we talked about before, they're not out of it, but they're going to have to win out. They're going to have to beat Iowa State in Ames at the end of the season and all of that. We don't yet know, because we're still a ways out, we don't yet know game time for the Arizona State game next weekend. But knowing, you know, we're going into this off week and for Kansas State and all of that, I mean, you're going to get a little bit of rest, I would think. I mean, I know we've got basketball season and everything. We'd be remiss to not, you know, at least mention hoop season kicking off and everything. You've got the first game tomorrow night inside Bramlage for the regular season. So I guess maybe there's not quite as much rest as maybe you would like, Wyatt.
Well, but that's okay, though, too. Sure. I'm excited for basketball to get started. I mean, you think about, you know, today and tomorrow is really kind of the opening nights for everybody.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me to sit there and look at the polls and see in the top 10, you've got 5 Big 12 teams.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's right.
That's wild. But it probably should be like that. I'm anxious to see, you know, what some of these teams look like. In particular, our group here, I like these guys. They've got some things to work on after the Fort Hays exhibition for sure, too. So let's see what the week has brought from that perspective. Then you turn right around and have Cleveland State coming in here on Saturday. So, it may be a little bit of a slower week for football, at least in terms of games.
Sure.
But across my shoulder and up at the Veneer Complex, I guarantee you those coaches are working to get those guys better for the next, you know, couple of weeks. So it's a big time right now, man. We're in November now. It's time to go, go, go.
Yep. Well, and, you know, like I mentioned, we won't have a Kansas State broadcast this weekend for the off week. And we don't have game time yet on Arizona State next weekend. But as soon as we get that, we'll share that with everyone. And then, of course, basketball tomorrow night inside Bramlage. You'll be on the call. And so we're looking forward to hearing that as everything gets kicked off for college basketball. Wyatt, we appreciate your time. And, of course, we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Nice talking to you. Right. Appreciate you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats here on Sports Daily. And as I mentioned before, we'll have all the coverage of Kansas State basketball tomorrow night right here on KFH. We'll take another timeout. On the other side, some breaking news in the NFL that I want to get to, Paul, that came out right about the time that we were coming on the air. So we'll mention that, bring that up, and then get more into the NFL and the Chiefs in action Monday Night Football tonight, taking on the Buccaneers. We'll be right back. It's Sports Daily on KFH. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, joining us here as he does every single Monday on Sports Daily. If you missed any of that, you want to go back and hear our conversation about Kansas State being upset in Houston on Saturday, you can go to the Odyssey app and listen to that entire interview right there for free. Download the Odyssey app, search for KFH, search for Sports Daily, and you can hear that interview with Wyatt Thompson. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, and for Jacob Albrecht on this Reaction Monday. Paul, very quickly here before we wrap up hour number one, some breaking news in the NFL that came down right about when we were coming on live here this morning. The New Orleans Saints have fired their head coach, Dennis Allen, after 7 losses in a row. The Saints started off the season 2-0. They've lost every game since then, including their loss yesterday by 1 point to the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers are in full-fledged rebuild mode. So they lose to the Panthers in a divisional matchup, and this is actually the very first in-season firing that the New Orleans Saints have done since 1980. It's been over 40 years since the Saints have fired a coach midway through the season.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised with that move. I could tell you this right now. I think it it may not be the last one, because there's a lot of frustrations with numerous teams at this point, right? How about the Titans? Do you think there's any frustration over there? I believe there might be a little bit.
Sure. So the Raiders have frustration. They fired their offensive coordinator today.
That's right, plus two other position coaches. I mean, literally, you got rid of a third of your, I mean, of your important staff position coaches. I think they got rid of their quarterback coach, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe their offensive line coach and their coordinator. I mean, come on now. I mean, that's basically a resetting of half of a football team, isn't it, at the professional level. And you don't do that every day unless there is frustration with the ownership, with the management, whoever's making those decisions. So there's got to be a lot of frustration.
The Raiders have a quarterback issue by far. I mean, it's not working with Gardner Minshew. It didn't work with Aiden O'Connell. They brought in Desmond Ridder to replace Gardner Minshew in the third quarter yesterday. That didn't work. Like, they've got a quarterback issue with the Raiders that they've got to figure out. With the Saints, what's surprising to me, and I know Derek Carr was injured for a number of weeks, and they had Spencer Rattler starting a couple of games and didn't really work, and they weren't able to make it work offensively until really Carr came back. His first game back was yesterday. They still lost that game. It's surprising to me. Through 2 weeks of the season, I thought the Saints were for real. Like, I thought they were real. I mean, their offense was off the charts. They were the best offense in the NFL in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right.
And then it just fell off a cliff, and they've never been able to get it back.
Well, right off the top, let me just say, I thought Minshew would do a better job than he did. I thought he might be that guy to get him through and take care of that. Spencer Rattler, there was no doubt in my mind he was not the guy.
Sure.
And I was stunned that he ended up starting the games that he started. I knew he wouldn't be the guy.
I don't think they had any other choice. Derek Carr getting hurt.
That's the problem. Yeah. Therein lies part of the problem. That was sort of out of by default that he got to be able to the starter. But it's a mess. I'll tell you what, is there a more important position in the world of sports, all sports, rather than quarterback in the NFL? There's not, is there?
Absolutely not. It's the second in-season firing of this year in the NFL. Of course, the Jets fired Robert Sala a couple of weeks back. And now the Saints are team number two, firing Dennis Allen.
Who's next, real quick, before we go to break?
Oh, man, that's a great question. it's probably not Antonio Pierce with the Raiders, because he made those staff changes. He'll get let go at the end of the season if it doesn't work out. Do you have an idea?
Dallas Cowboys.
Mike McCarthy, he's
Dallas Cowboys.
Man, he's on the hot seat.
What do you
big
think? I'm thinking out loud here. I could be wrong.
If he hasn't been let go yet, he's not going to be let go until after the season.
Maybe so.
I have a hard time thinking Jerry Jones is going to do that.
But how frustrated can Jerry Jones get?
I mean, is there a limit to the level of frustration?
I think there is. For him, I think there's a limit where he goes, that's it. I'm just saying, I don't know. But desperate men do desperate things.
Maybe Doug Peterson for the Jags.
Maybe.
On the list.
You can make
also
a case for that, too. Yeah.
I don't know. Of course, it's that time of year where you've got those underperforming teams starting to make changes with their coaches. And the Saints are the most recent one to do that, firing Dennis Allen this morning. They're 2-7. We've got a whole other look at the NFL. On the other side, kicking off hour number two, the Chiefs and Monday Night Football tonight against the Buccaneers. We'll preview that and a whole lot more. Sports Daily coming right back on KFH.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.